Cost up pretty on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is. Talking about the way the world is.
It's
Crawl now.
Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers.
Welcome back to Cross Talk. It's your man Steph Swig.
It's your boy Big Pudge.
Yes. We're about to go in. We got one called Misconceptions of Jesus. So that's going to be a long one, ain't it? It can go all day. People got all kinds of crazy misconceptions. You know, I really want to do this because everybody tends to have a misconception about Jesus. And I feel like a lot of times he's being misrepresented from non-believers and from believers alike. So as always, we want to give you information and just bring a little bit of clarity or a lot of clarity to different topics. So here we go. So, Pudge, right, you got one. You said you had something juicy, man. So
yeah, my first misconception is the ones that theologians harp on a lot, and that's that Jesus had a wife, and that he was married, and that he had kids, and that his bloodline is still walking the earth still to this day. So, me personally, I find that highly intriguing. You know,
okay,
where there's any facts or truth to it, I can't really say there is. The closest I've gotten to any of that, and you know, and of course, I think it's theologians say he married Mary. Was it Mary Magdalene?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, the old Ethiopian Bible has 81 books, not 66. So In them 81 books, the book of Mary Magdalene is in there. So if you read the chapter or the book, it briefly talks about them, but I haven't read anything where it specifically says that, you know, they were together, married, kids, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it does bring me back to, you know what I'm saying, the question of, you know, I'm one of the people where I love to ask a lot of questions to God. I know man can't answer any of them questions. And it's like, Lord, you know, you said that your son was tempted by everything that we was tempted by. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we had this conversation.
We're back
before,
on that,
you know what I'm saying?
I thought we settled it then.
No, we settled it in that area. You know what I'm saying? As far as that topic, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, you know, I never read where he was tempted by a woman.
I think it's kind of covered when they say every area, but you're right. I thought about that too.
So, I mean, you know, and I'm like, you know, it's I mean, like I said, there's even more than 81 scrolls, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a lot, and, you know, human, man, did take away a lot of the scrolls for personal reasons. So I always have that question of, God, was that purposely taken out? If that is true, was it purposely taken out because of the original intent for the Bible to be canonized, which was to actually enslave people, to rule them by way of this book? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The intention was wrong on the reason why, but I'm wondering, man actually had something to do with canonizing the word. So I'm like, where are those books taken out? So it's like when I hear, you know what I'm saying, these things that we hear about, I don't automatically be like, nah, that ain't it, because of what I learned in the 66 books. Now, stuff far-fetched, I'd be like, yeah, bro, that don't sound nowhere near likely. But some things, like what I just said, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I haven't read it in the 66 books, so I haven't even read it in the 81. I haven't read all 81, but I'm saying, like, what I have read, I have not read that. So
I got you.
I still can't say if it's true or not, but that's one of them misconceptions where it's a huge question mark next to it, because there are theologians that fully believe and have a timeline of him and Mary getting married and having their first child, and about where their bloodline landed, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, that's just one major one.
Okay, that's a good one. I don't have anything to rebut it or to confirm it. I'm just thinking, I just want to comment. When it comes to the Bible coming together, I know it was different reasons that some books were left out of the Bible. One, like you said before, it was some because they wanted to sway it a certain way.
Right.
And I think, if to my understanding, it was also because some books, the validity was questionable. Like, they couldn't. And I read about the council. Sometimes it might have been, I don't know how many people was on the council, I'm not seeing it. However, a certain situation, we just say 20 people.
Right.
In certain situations, it might have been 15 people that agreed that it should be in and 15 people that didn't. So they just, because everybody didn't agree, they scrapped it. So then I have to say the book is not valid. You know what I'm saying? Right. And, it's a good question. And my question is, though, like, even within the 66 books with Christ getting married to Mary Magdalene, because, you know, where I'm wondering, in reality, when would he had time to get married and have a kid, unless it's like that time between he disappeared from 12 to 30, and then,
was it 33 is when he started his ministry.
So that's, and at that point, you don't have anything about it. I always thought about that, though. It's like,
because, like, he didn't just disappear at 12 and come back at 30. Like, we don't read anything that says that, but I'm sure that there are books that's not there that talks about his childhood.
Yeah. There's some other theories I've heard. I've heard he was in Egypt in the mystery schools being taught. I've heard that's pretty much the one that sounded most believable to me. It doesn't hold any weight because I have nothing to go by. But I don't think it's that far fetched. I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of the. Yeah, it, to me, it's one of the misconceptions where it's not that far out.
But as a married man, it would be definitely comforting to know that Jesus was married. So when I go to him about my problems, he's like, "Y'all feel you? I feel you, man.
I've been through that. I understand.
This is what you have to do. This is how they look. I know how they work because I wired them, and I know how it works because I was married to one. So this is what you need to do to get through the situation. So I don't know. It would be dope to have that to know that. I don't know. I don't feel like it's that far fetched. It's like every time people introduce an idea that's not familiar to people, people take it like, "Oh my God, it's blasphemy, that's heresy." But even when Christ came on the scene, the stuff he was speaking was considered heresy. So, you know,
he was calling himself the Son of God.
Yeah.
It was like, that's blasphemy.
It sounds blasphemous now. If I didn't know who Jesus was, that would sound blasphemy. You the Son of God, you forgive sins now? Really?
Right.
Y'all stay away from him. Yo, that dude is crazy. He is straight demonic.
Right.
You know.
True.
He cast his spirits into pigs. I don't know about that. You know what I mean?
Like, having a whole herd of pigs run off a cliff.
Look, they're healing on the Sabbath. He's Son of God. He breaking God's Sabbath day and stuff. Right. So, like, it's all kind of stuff that would just, you know, so it's like, if you don't know who he is and how he operates, it could be easy.
That's true.
Easy to say these things, especially now we're familiar with it. Because you think about it. You talk to people about salvation. Like, yeah, so you believe in God came down, was born out of a virgin, died on the cross, went to hell, came back for your sins? Like, it sounds really ridiculous when you say it, but if you really know, then you know it.
Yeah. So you got some misconceptions.
Yeah, man, I want to tackle one real thorough and real quick, or as least the best I can.
Right. Okay.
Let's just do this because you got people trying to say Christ is white. Okay, that's a misconception.
Oh my God.
You know, and I don't care who get mad at me, but before I squash this, I'm gonna give you some examples, and we're gonna go from there. But I want to say this because every time I don't mean to be funny, but every time I seen this conversation, it was always a white person says, What difference does it matter? Okay, and I'm not being funny. I'm not being racist. That's just the fact that matter. Person that said it was white, every time I had this conversation with people, it's usually a white person that will always say, what does it matter? Uh-huh. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what color his skin was as to who he was. It doesn't. What matters is the reason he was perpetrated and painted as a white, you know, blue-eyed, white hair. Yeah, or blonde hair. Blue-eyed white person.
Right.
That's what matters. And the reason being, like I said in my post a while back, it matters because the reason it was done is to show the white man superiority over the black guy. Black man in slavery times.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason. The other reason was, I can't remember the other reason. I know it's the main reason, but if you study the Bible and you study history, that's how it was perpetuated.
Exactly.
But if you look at earlier scriptures or earlier pictures, Jesus was depicted as a black person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ethiopian, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And however, I'm not one of those people who think Jesus is black because I'm black. I'm not saying he's white. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying he wasn't blonde-haired or blue-eyed, period.
No.
If you go by this, now if you study the region, this is what I'm going to say is wrong. If you study the region where Jesus came from and what the people look like there, it's no way.
He was white.
Yeah. And I have to say this because you got black folks that tell them black folks we fools because we worship a white God, a white Jesus.
Right.
We don't worship a white Jesus.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that people were taught to worship a white Jesus. It was really weird. I don't worship any colors. I worship Jesus the Spirit.
Right.
Like, I don't have an issue with that. But the thing is, if you were white and you're running into exile to hide from someone who's coming to kill a white baby, right? You hide amongst white people, right?
Right.
You'll blend in.
Right.
So if you are white and you're hiding from a king that's trying to kill you, and you go to Egypt, which is where Egypt is in
you're
Africa.
You're going to stand out like a sore thumb.
So Egypt is in Africa, right?
Right.
People act like Egypt is a whole separate country. You got these nice, fair-skinned people. At that time, it was dark-skinned people just like me and you and other every other African you see on those starving African commercials.
Right.
That's what the skin tone looked like.
Right.
So if you're able to blend in with a particular race of people, it must mean that you at least have the same features.
Right.
Same complexion.
Right.
You look like one of those people.
Right.
Like, I can't go and blend in at a KKK rally. If I'm hiding for the Klan, I can't do that.
Right.
I'm going to stand out. Point being, if Jesus was the color that he was depicted in the picture that most people see in these old school churches and everywhere right. else, and these pictures of Jesus, you know, hanging out or whatever, he could not have blended in.
Right. He'd have been a little blue-eyed baby that everybody would have been able to recognize instantly.
Cause exactly.
Because he don't have any kind of melanin, number one, or Ethiopian, like descent, melanin, and his appearance at all,
yeah. So on one side of the spectrum, it at the end of the day, for what he did, for who he was, it doesn't matter the color of his skin. But when it's deliberately depicted as a certain race to show superiority, to establish that, then it's a wrong reason. Then it's a sinister reason behind it. So that's what a lot of black people are mad about.
Right.
So we do have to admit that, of course, he was depicted that way for the intentions of enslaving people and keeping them in control. Not enslaving, but supporting that the white man was God over us and we're supposed to trust him. That kind of thing. But we can't ignore the fact if he actually... But those people who say that the Bible teaches, the Bible does not teach that Jesus was white.
Right.
Just by all the evidence in the Bible point to Jesus being a darker skinned person. I'm not saying he's black like me or you. I'm just saying... Right. Common sense would tell me if you're able to blend in with a race of people, you would have to look like them.
Right.
But even at the bare minimum of that argument, he would be a Jew, right? What would a Jew look like?
If nothing else,
Jews have black hair, curly hair.
Right.
They don't have blue eyes.
Right. Right.
So Jesus was not white. That's a misconception.
Far from it.
And that's something I will always stand on. You can argue with me all day long. I will not. You'll be arguing by yourself, because when you know the truth, sometimes you just. You don't have to always argue. You don't have to debate. You have to let the light shine. That's it.
Yeah. Man, my thing is, I'm over here like, okay, so have you ever heard anybody like challenge the length of his hair? I'm curious, because up until then, I never, like I was told and heard that I was told that his hair was short. His hair was short, and that's why I'm missing in my phone now, because I just want to Google to see like Jesus' description.
Well, I picture Jesus, him with long hair, but I don't think
now
that
of course now it definitely says, you know what I'm saying, his hair was as of like the thickness of wool.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know no white person that has hair like that. You know what I'm saying, unless they try to do the Rasta thing.
But when they're talking about that though, wasn't that's in Revelation though, right? When they're talking about the
hair, sure.
Because there is a scripture where it actually describes him, but people take that the people who are pro black take that as them describing his physical attributes. That was actually a vision that someone said, because it said his hair was wool, his hair was white, his eyes were red, his skin was bronze.
Oh, okay.
And that's not an actual description of his physical body. I don't know what it was, but it was a vision per se. But just like I said, just going on the region he came from and everything else, from what I understand, Nazarenes were of dark complexion, from what I understand.
So you got any more? Because I'm...
What are you looking? You looking up something?
Yeah, I'm looking up his description.
Oh, man, that's going to be...
Like in the Bible.
It's going to be interesting. But, other one is people tend to think that he didn't get upset. I think you posted something like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they think the only time he got upset was when he threw the chair in the church.
When he flipped the tables. Yeah.
Or flipped the tables.
Yeah.
Now, he got upset. Like, where does that come from?
I think because when you read about Jesus and you read about how loving he is and how peaceful and humble he is, that people just automatically give the assume that he wasn't like humans and don't get upset.
Yeah.
Now, we know he was hurt.
Yeah.
We it talks about his hurt, you know what I'm saying? It talks about more so his love and humbleness and everything else.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the stuff he said in the scripture, you can tell he's upset. Example was when he went up on the mountain to pray before he got crucified.
And all his apostles fell asleep. Yeah, he was mad at that.
I could pick up the tone of that conversation. Right. He was on fire. But I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was upset. I'm sorry, he was upset.
Right. So it's man, it's going to take too much for me to try to find his actual description. I typed in there. It's a whole bunch of stuff that's coming up.
Did you see anything you want to talk about?
No, when it comes to now, my thing is when I just automatically assumed that Jesus had long hair. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, and I was just curious about, you know what I'm saying, if that was actually true or not, because now it makes me, you know, based on the fact that somebody told me I'm going to hell because all men who have long hair are going to hell.
Here we go. I knew that was coming.
It's well, of course, I don't believe that, people. I do not believe that, you know. So, however, I'd be curious where these people get some of the nonsense they come up with from.
All right. So, you got a lot. I got the post right here. I got something that was interesting because someone said, we already tackled the white part. He's white and his father is a man. Nah, his father isn't a man. The Bible wouldn't tell you. The Bible would tell you his father's not a man. The Bible tells you he's birthed through the Holy Spirit, which is a spirit. That's not a man. Joseph was raised under Joseph, who was his, I guess in a sense, stepfather in a sense. But right. it's not his biological father. And then someone said, because of his grace, you can do whatever you want. Just be baptized. You can spend eternity with him. That's a good one.
That is.
And I can address that real quick. The Bible talks about grace, and I agree with grace that, you know, it's there in case you need it, not for you to depend on. It's a lifeline.
Right.
Like if you fall and get back up and keep moving, but it don't mean just keep on falling. Like if you're on a boat and you jump out, are you going to jump out the boat just because you know they got a life saver out there? Right. No. But the thing is, I mean, now if you trip, yeah, that's what it's for. It's not for people who deliberately just jump out the boat, now come save me.
Right.
The thing is, with grace, so Paul warns us of abusing grace. They asked him that same question because with grace, you know, you think about grace, oh, I can do whatever I want, I'm forgiven, God understands. But when, you know, it's easy to think that way, especially in the flesh one talk that way.
Right.
But Paul warns us of that. He says, do not abuse the grace. Like you cannot do what you want just because you have grace. He said that's abusing grace.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I guess they feel like just because you ask for forgiveness and he's going to forgive you, you just feel like you just keep doing it or just do something different or just keep doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing, but because you have grace, you know, you figure it's all right.
Yeah.
I guess people don't realize you still reap what you sow, though.
Yeah, yeah. With grace, you are forgiven, yes, but just like everything in the natural has a consequence, there are spiritual consequences. I'm not saying you're being punished, but if you do something and it affects the spiritual realm, it can affect you.
Right. Yeah.
Like we're talking about soul ties a lot on here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But only thing the grace does is keep you out of hell because you fail.
Yeah.
Like you still like you can you know what I'm saying? If grace covered you killing somebody, that don't mean you're still not going to jail.
Right.
That don't mean you're not gonna burn an electric chair. Like I'm just saying. So keep in mind, don't be abusing that grace. Don't just think because of this and that. Like if you sleep around, you could get AIDS. It's not going to protect you from AIDS.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And there's all kinds of other stuff. Like, you know, I'm not going to get in. It's a million and one sins probably, but.
What else you got? You got
other
some
sins?
More?
No,
not the sins.
I'm messing with you. A lot of them were saying that he was white and he walked the earth when he walked the earth. They say he's white. Everybody says that's the one that came up most was everybody saying. And the fact that it's a misconception means it's not true. It's a misconception.
Right.
They also said a misconception is that he was black too. I agree. I think that's a misconception too. I don't know. He could. I mean, just because someone has dark skin doesn't make them African American. There are other races that had dark skin just like us. If you look at some Puerto Ricans are darker than black people.
Dominicans look just like
they
black
do
people.
Look like black people. So
until they talk that you understand that they're
true.
Dominican.
Yeah. Right. So just because someone has dark skin doesn't mean they are of African American or African descent. African American. African descent.
Right.
There are other darker races even that stem from places other than Africa. People, if you do your research, you'll see that even some of the ancient Hebrews were dark skinned people.
Right.
Negro, as the Bible calls it.
Yeah.
N-E-G-R-O. Negro. All right. So another person said the misconception was, how about where he's from? The Bible's always saying Bethlehem, Judah, Bethsaida, Jericho, all places where Caucasian people weren't then and now.
Right.
From what I understand, he's from Bethlehem. That's where he was born. And I think he grew up in Nazareth, right?
Mm-hmm. He's a Nazarene.
Yeah, he's a Nazarene. I think he was birthed in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then he grew
that's
up.
That's not where he grew up
yeah,
at, though.
Exactly. So yeah, that's also in the Bible. Let's see. Another one I want to say that he someone said that he was born in December. That is a misconception.
He was born in
because we celebrate Christmas.
No, now, but I said if you do the timeline, he was born anywhere between April, June, somewhere around that time.
See, I had someone comment on that. And I can't remember what they said, but I understood it to be more so just by the way things were scriptured, the way things were written in the Bible. To my understanding, it was more so in the fall, like September-ish. That's just my understanding. I don't know where that comes from, but that's what I was taught. But it was based on certain things that was happening in the Bible that happened around that correspond with that time frame. But for a fact, no, December 25th has nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
December 25th is a man-made holiday, and we call it Christmas, and there's a lot of pagan origins to it. But we made it a Christian holiday because of the Roman Empire was trying to really get everybody in.
Right.
Hands down. Right. Now, that will be another topic for another day, but that's where the December 25th comes from. That is not Jesus' actual birthday.
Right.
And it's shocking. I'm not going to say it's sad. It's shocking because a lot of people aren't educated on that. I mean, I run into adults all the time who don't know that Jesus was not born on actual December 25th.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess I can understand why people would actually think that. As a kid, I thought that too.
Mm-hmm. And then you got Christmas signs, happy birthday, Jesus.
Right, right.
You know, so I get it. Ooh, here's another one. That God is not special. Humanity can't understand. He died, gone, woke up, knows no time. I don't know. I'm sorry. Someone posted some weird stuff. I don't know. That's some. You know, every time you post that, you get somebody with that way left field post.
Right. Yeah. And you just be trying to figure out where in the world they come from.
Yeah. Where you coming from with that? Okay. I will address it as if I think I understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to say. Nah, I'll talk about that another time. We'll come back to that. I'll go to an easy one. It says the misconception that Christ can't forgive them in the state that they are in, only if they knew how much Jesus truly loved us.
Right.
People have that conception that you got to get cleaned up to come to Christ.
And he wants to meet you. He meets you right where you are. So if you think about his 12 apostles, his disciples.
Disciples weren't saved?
None of them. I mean,
they were like the low.
The lowest of the low. And I think that was strategic. He strategically did that to show the world that I can take the bottom of the worst and turn them good. So if I can do that, then anybody can come to me.
Yeah. And he tells you in the Bible that he didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. Mm-hmm. He was talking about he didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. That's what he says.
Right.
All right. So if anybody's teaching you that you have to clean up before you come to Christ is lying or misinformed. Hands down. Seriously. Because a lot of people act like they got to get cleaned up to come to Christ. And you know what I'm thinking? Some of that come from Yusuf?
What?
Church folk.
Boy,
I'm not bashing, but church folk have this idea sometimes that we're supposed to look a certain way to come into what they call God's house, the building of church. We're supposed to look a certain way. We're supposed to do certain things. But if you're coming in to get help, you're going to look like you need help.
Right.
My point is, if I get shot and go to the hospital, am I waiting for them to let me in until the bleeding stops, or they're going to take me in there? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like for you to clean up, feel like you got to clean up to go to come to Christ. It's like trying to wash your car before you go to the car wash.
Right.
Like that doesn't make any sense. You don't prepare yourself to meet Christ. You accept him where you are, and he changes you from the inside out. Anyway, so yes, if you think you got to come a certain way that he can't forgive you for everything that he says he can, then you make him out to be a liar, honestly.
Right.
Here, hands down. Hands down. Here's another one. That he was white with blue eyes. That's what everybody's saying. That he is black. The Bible says bronze skin, woolly hair, and hair. The misconception is that he is black. Bible says bronze skin and woolly hair, brass feet too. Folks argue over what he looks like. Fact is, if you are evil, racist, prejudiced, you will die, rot, and go to hell. We must love all people to see him in peace. You ain't going up yonder if you are devil in heart and in actions. God has no respect of a person. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what it means. I was with him at the beginning of it.
Right.
But I have no idea. You know, I'm going to start pre-reading these things before I start reading.
You sound like me. That's what I be doing on the
podcast. Like, nah, I can't. Nah, man, that's.
I don't know where this website is from. 10 misconceptions about Jesus.
Give me one.
Oh my God. And this was posted. Oh, this was posted in 2013. Oh, my gosh. And every freaking picture is a white man.
Yeah.
Long hair, blue eyes. Now, here's the one now. I asked myself, I said 10 misconceptions.
Yeah.
About Jesus. Now, the third one is Jesus had short hair.
That's on there?
Yeah. And it has a picture with Jesus with short hair. Now I don't know. Go ahead. Are you going to say something?
Yeah, I'm going to say something. Because what was, what's the guy in the dreads, in the Bible that had the dreads? We saw it in the...
Samson?
Yeah, Samson. What was he? Because I know what he was.
He was Ethiopian or Hebrew? Ethiopian?
I thought he was a Nazarene. I was told he's a
Nazarene. Oh, I think he... You know, that's what people make me Google that next. Because all I know is that he was specifically told not to deal with a certain tribe because it would bring him pretty much death and damnation, pretty much.
To my understanding, he was a Nazarene. I could be wrong,
uh-huh.
But that would throw that out the window if he was a Nazarene and he couldn't cut his hair. So why would Jesus cut his hair? You see what I'm saying?
Now hear this.
But give me one.
No one knows for certain what Jesus looked like.
Fair
but
enough.
But the popular conception of him has involved a sort of Eurocentric hippie complete with sandals and long hair.
Yeah.
This can probably be attributed to the earliest Christian artworks, which often depicted him as having blue eyes and long blonde hair. In truth, long hair was not exactly a common fashion among Jews in Roman occupied Jerusalem around the time that Jews were said to have lived. And this is Corinthians 11:14 says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. This is in accordance with customs with considered short hair to be masculine and long hair to be feminine. So the images of Jesus as a European with long flowing hair may be misleading, but at least he was good looking, right? That's what the person is saying. So, what's your take on that? Because somebody had did quote that scripture, and it's an Old Testament scripture as far as, you know what I'm saying, like, you not having long hair, it coming off as feminine.
I think it's dumb. Yeah, I'm sorry. You asked me what I think. I could be completely wrong, but this is my opinion. I think it's a dumb statement. However, to me, when it comes to the Old Testament, or even when it comes to the New Testament, when people are talking in the Bible, I agree that I believe the Bible is infallible and it's true. However, I also believe you have to read it with wisdom and understand precepts.
Right.
And sometimes you have to understand the reasoning, because sometimes in the Bible, they were speaking to a specific group of people.
Right.
Specifically.
Right.
So it depends on what's going on. Like, there's reasons that Paul told the men and women not to dress in those clothes. It might have been something going on there. And there's reason why they say not to get tattoos, but it was talking about slavery at the time.
Right.
Because the Egyptians was marked by tattoos. So when they were free, that's why I told people not to get tattoos so they wouldn't be marked as a slave. All right? But you have to understand what's going on in that whole arena at the time.
Right at the time.
So
right.
It may have been a specific reason why they didn't have long hair. But, but the point is, Samson had long hair and he was told not to cut his hair, and when he cut his hair it made him weak and he lost his strength. Now I did Google that, mm-hmm. and the scripture that supports this says he will be called a Nazarite, and they was talking about Samson, so he was a Nazarene.
I was just looking for that,
and it's in Judges, actually.
I'm in Judges 25.
I lost my place, but it actually says Judges 13.
Judges 13,
yes sir. Okay. So it says he should be called, so Samson was a Nazarene, mm-hmm. he had long hair which he was forbidden to cut. So there's a contradiction somewhere.
Yeah.
See, either we wrong, the Bible's wrong, or the person who assumed that people shouldn't have that Christ has short hair is wrong. Misinformation.
I think it's one of those things where people read one scripture, it says one thing, and then you read about somebody else who's actually the contradiction of a scripture.
Yeah.
And then you have a conflict in the actual word.
Yeah.
And it's just like what you said. You got to consider what's going on in that time, what rituals they did, what was custom and what wasn't custom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
some things were God ordained and some things just something they did. Exactly. It was just part of the culture at the time.
Exactly.
So it was recorded as such.
And then not even, I understand what that said, but see, I'm very in tune with, you know, like the medieval days. Renaissance and the Crusade era, 90% of the people had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cutting your hair was something that they honestly did not do back then.
Yeah.
You know, even back to the Viking days, nobody cut their hair in the Viking days. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, it's one of the things where it's like, it's just one of the things where I find it's dumb. I find it's kind of stupid. You know what I'm saying? That I think whoever would actually talk about the long hair thing, I think they just need to go back to read that scripture in Corinthians to find out what was all going on.
Yeah.
And I think, did Paul write Corinthians?
Yeah, Paul.
So what was Paul talking about? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Real quick, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. If you realize, though, even when Paul wrote Corinthians, those letters, it was called Corinthians because it's written to the church of Corinthians. It's actually written through that church.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff in there might be pertaining to certain things that was going on in the church of Corinthians.
And then you got to ask yourself, what was the church of Corinthians not doing for Paul to have to write and even say that part in the scripture?
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing. Like, a lot of people want to take what authors have said and hang on to them like it's like a lifeline, like Jesus or God was actually talking at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that these were still human beings that wrote these scrolls, these scrolls, and put them down so that we could have them. So these people were still made of flesh. They still had feelings. They still had flaws. Paul talks about his thorn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's the one that wrote Corinthians. So it's like, you have to, like I say all the time, if you're not tapped into the Holy Spirit and your spirit isn't reading these scriptures, you can often always come up with something wrong.
Yeah.
That you feel like was it could be straight, right, and true to you in your mind and your brain, but without the Holy Spirit, how would you ever know the truth of what
it's
it is?
It's a combination, man. It's that wisdom. It's studying the scriptures, not just reading like a book, but studying like, okay, why did they say this? Asking questions. It's a combination. Because people take one scripture and they run with it.
Yeah, and I'm
and start religious on it. Start religious with it. Denomination with it. Over one scripture, send you to hell over your long hair.
Right.
So I don't know, man. That's crazy. Another one was that he wasn't the Son of God, that he was just a man who walked the earth. We know it's a misconception.
Let me go back to that. Now, that was another one. That was in, in the one that I had about the one where it said, what was it saying?
Come on, Pudge.
The Holy Quran.
Yeah.
It said his name was in the Holy Quran. And of course, you know, in the Holy Quran, they talk about him, but they don't talk about him as being the Messiah. He's just like a prophet.
Well, see, I haven't read the Quran, so I don't really have a leg to stand on in that conversation. However, I've heard Muslims say that they believe Jesus the way we do. I've heard them say that. Like, I don't know.
I've heard converted Muslims say that.
No. I heard that they say in the Muslim Bible, the Quran, supports that Jesus is the Messiah. It's the Redeemer. How? I don't know. I haven't read it. Maybe we need to get your cousin up here, because I have him on there. I would love to have him on
there. I would definitely like to bring him on.
But
the show.
See, what I'm talking about was, because I sent you this link, I don't know if you looked at it, it was Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
Farrakhan said Jesus is the Redeemer. He came out in public and said Jesus is his Redeemer. And he said, the devil can't have me. Jesus is my Redeemer. I know who my Redeemer is. That's what he said.
Wow.
And then he even went as far as saying that's going to keep him out of hell. And also he went as far as saying he's going to be accountable for what he had been teaching for the past 40 years.
Okay. Well, that means he's come to
So I looked at a post that people shared on it. And some Muslims were on it saying that they believe Jesus the way we do. It's just some of the practices, the way we go about it is different. But they said they believe Jesus the Redeemer, so they're saying there's nothing new. Because we're talking about, like, well, did he convert to Christianity, or is he still a Muslim? How could he be a Muslim if he's saying that? Mm-hmm. And some Muslims who are on there were saying that doesn't mean anything far as him converting. It just means that, hey, we believe the same thing y'all believe about Christ Jesus being who he is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It might be different Muslims, maybe different denominations. I have no idea, but I would love to get your cousin on.
That's dope.
Yeah,
that's dope. I would see now.
Short clip, but you can see him talk about. But some people said he said those things like that before, so it's nothing new. But I don't know. We look at the clip after. But
okay.
I don't know.
That's dope, man.
I would like to study what the Quran says about Christ and see, because I know there's a difference. There's always a difference. Yeah. If it wasn't different, it wouldn't be a different religion altogether.
Exactly. And that's what I've always I've never read it for myself, but every Muslim that I've spoken to, we get on that topic about Jesus, him being the Son of God, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The Messiah, the one, the second coming.
Yeah.
All I've ever heard was that, you know, he was mentioned several times in the Quran,
yeah,
but only as a prophet.
Yeah, only as a prophet.
Yeah. So, and actually, I just read that mm-hmm. in one of the 10 misconceptions of yeah. Jesus. Like, and that was one, that he's just a prophet in the Holy Quran, but he's way more than just a prophet.
Yeah, he is, but I mean, I wonder if the Quran recorded the crucifixion and him not being found in the tomb. I'm curious.
Me too.
You know. But anyway, I know you got some more on that list, though.
Man, it was I don't know, some of the misconceptions I ain't never heard, and one was like, demons worship Jesus.
That's not a misconception, though. Well, hold on.
It's not.
Look at your face. Look at your face. Let me change that to say. What I mean by that, they do acknowledge who he is. That's all I'm saying.
That's different than worship.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So let me change that.
Because
yeah.
that's what this thing said. It said worship him, like demons worship.
I don't think Jesus. How could they worship him? Why would they worship him?
Well, you know, they're terrified of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because they know who he is. They acknowledge him. That's what I meant by that. I mean, like, they bow down and
right, right. But, yeah. I mean, if you think about the story about the yeah, the one that comes to mind because
they recognize him.
Because he recognized
him.
Scared. See, I don't know. Maybe that's in my mind. And when he recognized him, it was almost like what we would do if we was to actually see an angel or Jesus himself. Like we would instantly fall to our feet and not even be able to look up to face him. I've always
that doesn't mean worship though.
No. I mean,
worship literally does mean to bow down.
Worship. I mean, I automatically just looked at it like anytime a demon saw who Christ was, it's like they could not. Not yeah. bowing out, worshiping yeah. him, but like just bowing. I can't. Yeah, because you're just too powerful.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I got you.
So I don't look at that as worshiping.
No, it's not. That's different. That's just right. not being able to be in his presence.
Right.
That's totally different.
Right.
But the Bible does say every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. But that's not demons they're talking about. They're talking about
people. Humans. Right.
But okay. But back to the pigs thing. When the demons saw Christ, they asked him, "Have you came to torture before the desired time, before the appointed time?" So they were scared. Yeah. They knew exactly terrified. Who he was, and they're yeah. so scared they begged him. They cast him into the pigs.
Right, right.
So
And that I don't know, that excites me.
Yeah, I get excited.
That excites me is just because of the fact that we are to be just like Christ and then we have all the powers that mm-hmm. he has.
Yeah.
So it's just really activating that power within us to actually, you know what I'm saying, be able to cast the demon out.
Yeah, he said we had the authority. He says we have to realize and come into it, but he also says some demons can only be cast out with fasting
and praying.
But that right. doesn't mean they can't be.
Right.
It means we have the authority.
Right. That means they can be in all yeah. areas, some fasting and praying, some just by speaking. Yeah.
A lot of Christians and believers, kingdom citizens, whatever you want, God's people, God's sons, whatever you want to call us, are like Simba in The Lion King. Mm. He was always a king, born to be a king, but it wasn't until he acknowledged and realized that he had the power to overthrow Jafar.
Right. That he actually was able to do it.
And that's how I think believers get bowed down and they're so scared of demons, but they don't, because we don't realize we have authority. Just because my point is, you already have the authority, but you have to realize it to exercise
right.
it.
Right.
Like if you're lying, Simba was never, it was never a question whether he's a lying or not.
Right.
He was
right.
a lying the whole time. He was already had the authority. He's already the king of the land.
Right.
He had to come into that understanding knowledge. And once he came into understanding knowledge, right. he tore things up, man.
Right.
And I think, and once us believers understand the power and authority that we have, we will be able to cast out demons. We will have the authority that Christ has. We have it. We'll be able to use it, to exercise, put it that way.
Okay.
So we won't have it. We already have it.
Okay.
We know it, and we know who we are.
Right.
But like if you're a king living in the slums, it doesn't change the fact you're a king. You're just a king who wasn't walked into his authority, his right. place.
True.
You're still a king.
That's
Superman
true.
Can dress up as Clark Kent all day long, but he's still Superman.
Right, that's true.
I got a million more now. I was like, we're gonna keep going though.
I got a good one.
What you got?
And I didn't even see this one.
Uh-huh.
One misconception where there were three wise men that showed up the night of Jesus' birth.
That's way more than three wise men, wasn't it?
I always thought it was three. Mm-mm. So. For people who like me, who always thought it was three.
Now, it's a scripture that tells you the number is a number that they couldn't count or something. I can't remember what it is.
I'm going to start off with scripture. Matthew chapter 2 speaks of Jesus' birth. Verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. The verse doesn't say that there were three wise men,
yeah,
but an unexpected number of them that visited Jesus.
Yes.
And this one was not on the night of his birth either.
That's new to me too.
Didn't know that.
So the whole Christmas story is a lie. Everything I've told is a lie.
Matthew tells us that Mary and Joseph were in a house when the Magi visited. Magi visit. Thank you. Matthew 2:11, making no mention of the manger of the manger baby Jesus was in during his birth. Mm-hmm. This suggested that the family was settled down in Bethlehem after the census had been taken.
Mm-hmm.
We also know from this reading that Jesus was not a little newborn when they arrived. Wow. After the Magi visited Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, we are told in Matthew 2:14-15 that the family fled by night due to a dream Joseph received to take his family to Egypt and remain there until Herod was dead.
Mm-hmm.
It would be impossible for them to have left the night of his birth, as Jesus wouldn't have been able to present Jesus in the temple according to the law. Luke 2:22-24.
How do you spell Magi?
M-A-G-I.
Okay.
Luke 2:22-24 referenced, this is the passage Jesus presented at the temple, which says, and when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That was it.
Wow. Okay. I was asking about Magi because Magi actually means kings.
Oh,
and we always see wise men. I think wise men might have been translated as kings too. I don't know, unless wise men and kings came to see him. I know for a fact kings came to see him. I just thought that was very interesting. It was so important that kings came, not their kingdoms.
Yeah, kings.
So that to me, that kind of tells me something that's more to Christ Jesus than just being a prophet.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so. And the other one, we was talking about Holy Quran. Jesus mentioned other holy books. The Quran mentions Jesus many times as an important holy figure. While he is not believed to be the Messiah or Son of God in the Islamic faith, he is, however, commonly acknowledged and considered to be a messenger of Allah, God in Islam. When he is mentioned, it is often in relation to others who are considered to be the patriarchs of the Islamic and Israelite people, including Ishmael and Abraham and Jacob.
Mm.
So pretty much comparing him to them, but still being a messenger, not the Messiah.
Yeah, that's how I understood about. So I'm wondering where these other Muslims.
Well, I think honestly, I think over time, because here's what, and like I say. And I don't know how many shows we done did. I spoke this book name, but I'm gonna say 22. This book name. I'm gonna say this book again, The Books of Josephus. If ain't nobody heard that book,
I'm gonna get the book, man.
Saying that because this is how I'm assuming Muslims was like, well, at this point we can't deny who he is, because the Books of Josephus again is a pagan journalist who writes about Jesus' crucifixion, writes about the veil being torn, what happened after that, and this man don't believe in Jesus. Guy, he's a pagan.
He's a reporter.
He's a pagan journalist, and he believe in pagan gods. And for those who don't know, pagan gods are multiple gods. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Zeus and Circes and all these other people. That's what he believed in at that time. You know what I'm saying? When they die, they're going to sit at the round table in the after death in a whole new form for themselves with all these other gods. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So he actually records Jesus' death, him being here on this earth. He records Jesus' miracles, healing people.
Yeah.
And this is somebody who did not believe in the man he was recording about. So at this point, it has nothing to do with religion when you read that book. It's all facts. It's all historical facts.
Yeah, I got
you. I'm saying to myself, once the Muslims, if they came into the knowledge of that book or any book that does not represent Jesus the Christ, but is talking about facts, how can you deny facts at that point?
I got you, because the book is objective.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And all across the world, that book is legit anywhere you go when you research it. So how can you deny the facts? And can you imagine, man, like, you know, believing something all your life and then coming to the fruition that some of the stuff, you like the in-depth part of what you believe wasn't true?
Yeah.
Like to believe that, let's just say to believe Moses was just Moses, but he was literally the son of God. And then at the age we are now, we just came into that light that that's who he really is.
It'd be frightening, because that's the part, that's frightening. And you, at first you want to reject it, and over and over and over. It's like the people who come into light about religion, period. Mm-hmm. It's a whole
deep. And then it makes you feel like complete, like you want to be, you want to ask God for forgiveness so long, because it's like all this time I've been believing something that's not true, or I haven't given your son the credit that he actually deserves. Mm-hmm. And you know, so you, I guess you just replay stuff in your head.
Same thing Paul went through. Paul can relate to that. In the Bible.
Yeah. I think he could. Yeah, I think
that's probably why he went with so much zeal.
Yeah, and you know what? Theologians say that, you know, nobody knows what his thorn. You can't find out what his thorn was in them 66 books. That's what I'm gonna say it like that. Some theologians say his thorn was that he liked men. You know what I'm saying? I've heard that through many theologians. Other theologians say, and this is what I believe, that his thorn was where he came from.
It could be.
Persecuting what he became. Mm. And that just tormented him. That, you know what I'm saying? Too, yeah. And it was actually him tormenting himself, but God allowed it to be so that he would remain in a humble place. Mm-hmm. So that's what I believe. You know what I'm saying? That's what I believe.
I got one more, man, and I know we got to get out of here because we're running out of time.
Okay.
This one I heard, and I want to approach this one too. Actually, I might want to get your opinion on it too. This one says that Jesus' lifestyle was unique because he was Jesus. And scripture says, we're being grown up into the full and complete stature of Christ, that Jesus was the firstborn among many. God intended many more to be an exact image of Christ, brothers and sisters whose lives reflect the glory of God. What that is saying is that Jesus lived his lifestyle the way he did because he is Jesus. Mm. And what he's saying is that Christians are taught that we will never measure up to that. We can't live a godly life, basically. And that's what he's saying, misconception, that Jesus was only able to do that because he was Jesus.
Wow. Oh, okay. So he said the misconception is he was only able to do that because he was
Jesus. Jesus' lifestyle is unique. So basically, he's saying is that people, the misconception is that Jesus is only able to uphold the scriptures, live the scriptures. I mean, live godly because he was Jesus the way he did. And he says scriptures are saying, and he used the scripture to support why it's a misconception. He says scripture says that we're being grown up into the full and complete stature of Christ, that Jesus was the firstborn among many. God intended many more to be an exact image of Christ, brothers and sisters whose lives reflect the glory of God. Actually, I don't even know what that means now. At first I thought he was trying to say that people tend to think that Jesus was only able to live the way he did because he's Jesus. Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, you're able to do that because that's you.
Right, right, right. That's what I thought he was saying, too.
Yeah. But now he's trying to sound, he says Jesus was the firstborn among many. That's how he's talking about some other stuff.
But that's scripture that they...
He didn't give a scripture. He just said scripture.
Oh, he said Jesus was born first among many.
He said Jesus, it says, scripture says we're being grown up into the full and complete stature of Christ, that Jesus was the firstborn among many. God intended many more to be an exact image of Christ, brothers and sisters whose lives reflect the glory of God. I think that would be the standard for all of us, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, man, we got some weird posts on here. Anyway, let me go with this one. That he's soft-spoken, passive. He's too sympathetic. I've heard that when he's authoritative, it's all fire and brimstone instead of encouraging and motivating. Most guys today don't see him as an easygoing man's man with life-changing wisdom and divine ability. I think Jesus was all of those, though. Mm-hmm. He can be soft-spoken. He can be passive. He can be authoritative. He can be sympathetic. I mean, he weeped. I mean, I think he had every emotion that we have. I think he had wisdom and more control over it. I mean, the Bible doesn't say there's anything wrong with getting angry. It just says sin not.
Right.
So I'm not sure if turning over tables and... right. I think that is misconception. People always act like Jesus was this passive, hippie-type dude and everything's going to be okay. And I think at times he was, but don't take that out of context. Everybody could be, like, everybody is, like, even people are human. People are humans. We have a variety of emotions.
Right.
If I would have talked to you yesterday, you wouldn't have been called Collective Yusuf.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, right. it's different seasons for different things.
True.
And so, because even if you go by scriptures, there's some scriptures where Jesus talking about forgiving 70 times 7. There's other scriptures where he's talking about I came to bring war and turn people against each other. So it's like, it's all kinds of different things he says. I understand that what that scripture means.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so you can't, he's not passive all the time. He's not a softy or nothing like that. Like, it takes a lot to die on the cross with people while they're spitting in your face and not do nothing. It takes more strength to refrain from that because it'd be easy to get off.
It does.
He had angels swarming around wanting to do something. He kept them at bay.
Right. And like, at any point in time, he could have been like, God, I don't want this.
He could have.
I don't want to take this. I don't want this no more at all. Like, I thought I wanted to help your people out, but I don't. But, you know what I'm saying? And he didn't. So, the timid, I don't know where in the world he get that from.
I don't think he's timid at all. I don't think he's timid at all. I think he was loving. He seemed like a likable person.
Mm-hmm.
For you get people to come out, you know, out the woodworks following you.
Right.
Before you even went to glory, you know.
Right.
So he had to been likable.
Right.
So I don't know. Either way it goes. A lot of misconceptions out there, but the biggest one that we got consistently across the board and everything is that Jesus is white, and that is a misconception. We mean it is not true. If you look at and study the scriptures through unbiased eyes, you will see that the scripture will paint a different color of Jesus' skin.
Right.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter the color of his skin, it just matters who he was and what he did. I don't care what color he is.
Right.
I care about the reasons he's portrayed for a different color.
Right.
Like, you know, I want accuracy. You know, if he was a Jew, then make, you know, why don't we have a different being Jews? Mm-hmm. It's some sinister motives that was behind that. That's what I want people to understand.
Right. Right.
You know, it don't matter. Yeah, I'm not saying he's black. I'm just saying if you're gonna hide amongst people, you gotta look like the people. That's all I'm saying. He might have had black.
Yeah, look like the
that.
Folks you hide amongst.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's because I'm a black guy. I have white friends that say same. I have white friends that had that conversation with me more often than I've been black friends do. And it's always shocking to me because I'm thinking, wow, you're a white dude. You come to me with this, like, yeah. I had a white guy say, yeah, it's obvious. He just said it out of the blue. Like, it's obvious that Jesus was, like, he was upset about it. It's obvious that Jesus was black. If you said the scripture, I don't know why they had his pictures of him being, he was upset about it. I remember having that conversation. Like, yeah, you're right.
Right.
You know, Brother War, he's not a black dude. He's always talking about the color of Jesus and how it's been misrepresented. And we're going to have him on. Silas, we got you, bro.
Right.
We're going to have him on, too. But even in his songs, he talks about it.
He does.
And that's all I got, man.
Yeah, that's all I got too, man. That's all I got. They were interesting.
Yes, misconceptions. Yeah. And I hope we were able to clear them up for a lot of people out there. Or if at best, I hope we're able to get you to go search the scriptures and study to show us wrong if you want to search them. Show us. I'm just glad you're studying your word.
Right.
You know. Anyway, man, let us get these shout outs out the way. You got anything you want to say before?
Nah, man.
Anyway, I'm excited, man, because we got France added to the fold. Y'all, France done tuning in on us. Shout outs to France.
Oh, what's up, France?
That's a new one for us.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Germany. Germany's still rocking with us. You know, Tokyo's still rocking with us, man.
We love you, Tokyo.
Love you, Tokyo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. It's a city in Maryland. It looks like it says Cockeysville or Cockeysville. Forgive me if I got it wrong. Okay. But shout outs to you, Maryland. We love you. Louisville, Kentucky, done tuned in. Gray Georgia, shout out to my mom in Gray Georgia listening.
That's what's up, mom.
The Boogie Down Bronx tuned in. All
right.
Boogie Down Bronx, birthplace of hip hop tuned in. It's an honor. Stone Mountain, Georgia's with us. Kanye's is back in the fold. Shout out to Kanye's.
That's what's
Atlanta,
up.
Atlanta, Georgia's rocking with us. Tacoma, Washington. Home of Dice Gamble area. That's what she lived there. If it's not, shout out to whoever's in Tacoma, Washington listening to us. Thank you for tuning in. We love you guys. You know what? Before I close this out, man, I want to say this real quick because I thought, even though I felt like an idiot. You know, every time we talk about Tokyo, right, we'd be like, yo, we love you, Tokyo. We want y'all on the show.
Uh-huh.
And we'd be wondering why they don't respond. I'm thinking, man, because they in Tokyo. How are we going to get, you know, they in Tokyo. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. So what I'm going to do, one of these shows, we're gonna read some interesting facts about our top city. That's the only way I can show. I think we can show, that'd be a good way to show them love. So we're gonna show Tokyo love on our next podcast. We're gonna give some cool facts about Tokyo. Give you a little information about Tokyo. But anyway, thank y'all for tuning in. We love you guys. Keep us in prayers. Keep us shooting us those topics.
Yes.
Hit us up on crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Keep us in your prayers, y'all. Hold us accountable. This is not stuff we just say just to get our rocks off, man. We trying to do this. It is our goal to present you with the truth, unadulterated, unbiased truth based on scripture.
Right.
If y'all feel like we fail in the area, hit us up. We want to hear from you. It's the information sharing station. This is Steph Swig.
This is Big Pun.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.
Steph Swig in the building.